Team Ill, come out and play.
Play it loud. We're changing the status quo one voice at a time, through music, edutainment, children, and awareness. We're progressing and preserving the culture through real conversations with people who've had real success. Multicultural artists and musicians, models, entrepreneurs, innovators, and activists. This is Paradox East, and you are in tune with Team Ill, powered by the MaitlandConservatory.org.
Thank you for listening to In Tune with Team Ill.
Everyone, to a special episode of In Tune with T-Mill. We've done some rearranging. We've changed the place around. Me and Marcus Sims did some spring cleaning and all that good stuff. We are at the listening room at the Maitland Conservatory. So thank you, Mario Maitland, for, again, supporting and providing this space for creatives to come out, have these conversations, and hang out. Marcus Sims, how you been, man?
Brother, doing great. Summertime in the city. A lot of things are happening in the 256 and North Huntsville, South Huntsville, everywhere. But it's always good to be back at Maitland Conservatory, the hub of creativity in this city. So it's always great to be here. And, of course, we're doing In Tune with Team Mill, so can't beat it.
Absolutely. I heard you wrote the last season of Game of Thrones right here in this room.
I'm admitting it right now. It was me that did it. HBO was like, hey, we're like on a limited budget, you know, to kind of like, they were like rolling pennies. And so they came to me to write the last season of Game of Thrones. I inserted myself, you know, Daenerys didn't want to be my love interest. Or blah, 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 I try to make you proud.
You got to do what you got to do, man. Well, yeah. We have someone here today, a very special guest that may be able to help you with that.
Hopefully.
And, you know, she is, again, fighting for, not only fighting, but being an example for giving minorities a voice, being in the creative industry, and making sure that people can see themselves in the positions that they want to be in. And again, to give people permission to get out and do these things, to be creative, go out and pursue their dreams. A woman that's doing this, she's hardworking. She's all over the place, busy all the time. We have Miss Diva in the building. How you doing, Diva?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. Thank you for not only your time, you being here. This has been a long time coming, and I had to take advantage of the small amount of time that you have available today to be here with us. So thank you for that, because I know you're busy doing a million things. You'd probably rather be taking a nap right now.
I took one earlier. We good. Got the coffee going.
Excellent. Excellent. So real quick, if you could, because you do a lot of things in the industry, and if you could narrow it down to maybe what you feel like your purpose is in entertainment, in film, television, how would you narrow that down?
Well, predominantly I have a reality TV background. Mm-hmm. So my job is to hopefully, you know, make sure shoots happen. So like everything from finding locations, working on schedules, getting props, you know, doing everything. It just depends on how big your crew is and how many people have positions and how you best allocate those, you know, resources.
Excellent. And I was going to have some background music and play the Beyonce Diva
But I don't know. That would have been corny, wouldn't it? I don't know.
No. I'm a diva.
You got it? Okay, cool.
You got to.
Will our budget allow that, though?
Well, you know what? We don't have copyright clearance. We can't pay for those.
Oh, no, that's expensive. That's right. Expensive.
We can do our version.
You know, beatbox.
Right. Right. We can do our
the karaoke version.
We haven't got that far yet, bro. The Kids Bop one.
There you go.
Kids Bop. I remember Kids Bop.
Oh, I'm telling you, they got a version of everything. Excellent.
Wholesome family fun.
Right. And for those that don't know, we see television shows. We've been talking about some of our favorite shows earlier. Television shows, TV shows, you mentioned reality shows, but you mentioned someone that's taking the time to make sure everything's organized, people are there, props, things like that, because people may not know that there's somebody or a large crew behind the scenes that's making sure all this stuff happens.
Yeah, it takes a lot of people, because, I mean, right now, you know, I'm currently here in Huntsville for Love and Marriage Huntsville. And I'm just in the field. That doesn't even include the people back in Los Angeles that, you know, are part of Post, you know, the creators over there. It's just, there's so much, and it's a lot of work. So I know it's cheesy, but now when I watch movies or shows, I watch the credits, okay? Because that is a lot of people's hard work, and just coordinating everything. It's like lightning in a bottle, just trying to make it happen for those perfect moments.
Well, one of the things that gave me hope as far as getting into television or film, or when I was thinking about doing that, was watching the credits and seeing just how many people are involved in a film. And if you want to look at some credits, look at a Marvel movie, and it's all these
different
positions. You
got the Hawaiian unit.
Yeah.
There's always a Hawaiian unit and all the different, yeah, it's remarkable how many people.
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
That's a lot of jobs.
All those people are needed. I mean, down from getting that coffee that, you know, to make sure the producers make it.
Yeah.
You know, it's all vital stuff, you know, like your starting position in the industry is a production assistant. And gosh, I've been a production assistant for about 2 years tentatively, mm-hmm. in between trying to make that climb and that push. And that job, man, it's hard. And, you know, at some point, everyone was there. So that's kind of like, it gets you through it. You're like, okay, you know, my favorite producer, they've been here. I can push forward.
Yeah. Well, you know, just again, you talking about this, you're enthusiastic. You've got energy about it. Mm-hmm. What even brought you to wanting to do this, or getting you interested in that?
Well, if you can't believe it or not, I was a child star at some point.
Nice.
Like, I did some acting, like, low-key couple
Game
commercials.
Of Thrones?
No, gosh, no. Texas Bank commercial, you know. I did a few commercials. I was up for some big roles, but my mom looked at the production schedule. She didn't really like what it was, and she kind of chose my education over that. So,
okay.
But I was on set, like, at a young age, around 6 or 7, and I loved it. You know, especially the crafty table.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, get the candy, like, that had me. And then
now,
you had
break
Rex.
That down for people that don't know what the
crafty
table is.
Okay, crafty. Crafty is life. Crafty, you'll have all your candy, chips, you know, drinks, you name it. And if we don't have it, we'll send someone to go get it. That's a PA's job. You need a PA, and then they go get the crafty. So it started from there, and then cut to college. I was going to school for business. My mom has a restaurant, and I worked the family business since I was 11.
Yeah.
I hated business. Oh, my God. I hated it so much. And I was like, I cannot do this. Like, and then I had a business mentor back home, and he's like, you know, you have a great mind for it already. Like, don't ruin it. And he's like, find something else.
Mm.
He said, you already had a natural business, you know, like, mind already. So I was like, okay. And my mom just told me, she's like, you know, you complain about movies and their music. She's like, why don't you try being a music supervisor? And I was like, I don't know how. But then I went to my campus to find out what they had for communications. And I went to Washington State University, go Kooks. And they had the school, the Edward Murrow School of Communications. And I just took a chance. I qualified for it, and I got in. And honestly, that program was amazing. I learned everything I needed to, you know. And then we also had people, kind of like alumni, that fly in for this conference, and you just get to know everybody, and you hear what they all get to do, and you jump from project to project. And I was just, after that point, I was like, I got to get there. So.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about. Marcus, what about you? I know you're a big movie lover. Marcus can tell you. If Marcus needs to make a top 10, you know, of movies, television shows, music, because he has a great ear, a great eye for just content and quality. You know, I really trust his judgment when it comes to entertainment, film, music, things like that, because he takes it seriously. And if he likes it, you can, he has a good taste, you know, in some of the things. So I find we have that in common. But when you think about some of these things, and again, you being on the campus of Alabama A&M and with all these students that are looking for ways to get into the entertainment industry, right, and things like that, what comes to your mind of just things that you're wondering about or questions you may have?
Well, I guess I know for me, it's amazing to see how the world of reality TV has just blown up, because you look at every network channel, they have a reality TV program. When, you know, at first when it started off, I can think of the first ones I heard of was it The Real World? And
I remember Making the Band.
Making the Band. Oh.
You know, going to get that cheesecake. And,
woo!
And then, I mean, one of my favorites was, and, you know, maybe we can edit this out. It was Jersey Shore. It was because...
Oh, you like it? Okay, you know.
It was like living the crazy party lifestyle that I never could or ever would leave and all that. But it's just amazing to see how every channel now has a reality show. It probably isn't a channel that doesn't, but is there a particular reality show that you would want to work on or wish that you had worked on? Or?
I mean, I've worked on a lot of great shows. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. You know, not really. I don't have time to watch TV, so
really?
I really don't. Uh-huh. So even my own work, I don't even get to see sometimes. Like, my mom will record it and be like, "Look, your name's in the credits," you know, kind of thing. And I was like, "Hey, mom,
shout out to mom, man,
you know,
shout out to mom."
Huge cheerleader. But yeah, I mean, I would love to work on Survivor because they film in Fiji, so I'm about that life. You know, and they have some days off on the beach. Ugh, my friend, he works on it. I had to hit him up. Well, see if I can get on there. And
absolutely.
Then what's funny is when you get in this industry, you realize how small the world is. Like, there's times, like, I started, back in 2015, my first show was Top Chef California, I think season 13. And I could, you know, take off to all these different jobs, and then I'll run into, like, a guy that I worked with as a PA or another girl, and I'm like, "Hey, like, it's like a family dinner, like,
yeah,
come on
go.
Over, like, it's been forever," so, and that recently happened, where I was working on, Rack Rants, I don't know if you saw that on BET, Raquel Harper from TMZ got her own show.
Wow.
So, I worked on that show, and one of the ACs was a PA from Top Chef, and we hadn't worked together since then, so... Mm. You realize, hey, I want to work on this show, and it's just
everybody
all about networking. You got to network. It's
that's
very important.
Cool. Now, and you also, we had a conversation earlier about, or a couple weeks ago, about minorities needing a voice and trying to tell stories of people, you know, just their struggles or their own voices to do that. Why is that important to you, and why do you think that should be?
You know, it's kind of hard when you're on set and you're like, "I'm the only one of me." That it really is. Like, it's not just even minorities, women. Like,
yeah.
You know, where you're one of, like, three women on a set. You know, it's kind of hard. And, you know, when I see either, you know, other Latinos on set, I'm like, "Yee, you made it. Like, I'm so get it," you know, kind of thing. But it's even our stories. Like, you know, we always have, you know, people we try to look up to or emulate. And then growing up, like... An example, when I was acting, I was trying out for a commercial. I can't say the toy, but she was pretty big back then.
Mm.
We know who she is. And I didn't get the role because I wasn't white enough.
What?
And my mom overheard that. So it kind of broke her heart, you know, to hear that. Like, and she thought that'd be really tough for me to realize that I didn't look a certain way or you know, I wasn't the ideal type. And that, you know, you realize... There's a lot of different little girls and boys up there that, you know, aren't one stage, but we don't have those roles.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gina Rodriguez said it best, I think at SAG Awards, that, you know, we need to write our stories. We need to hire our crews. We need to do all that. And, you know, we ask for our stories to be told.
Especially.
So.
And the way that more television and film is getting way more diverse.
Mm.
There's a lot more stories that are being told, but the authenticity of it where... Someone like you could be on set to say, "Nah, we wouldn't do it that way, or we wouldn't say it that way, or that's not realistic," or
oh, definitely,
that's you know what I mean. To be able to be on set to to keep it authentic and to make it real.
That's when you bring in consulting producers. So, like, you know, if I want to, you know, bring in, like, there's something I want to write eventually. It would probably be around, say, the 90s. It would have gang, and, you know, gangs and, you know, LAPD kind of thing in it. So I would want a consultant from, you know, the LAPD to make sure it's authentic. I would want to, there's a couple resources for people that are ex, you know, gang members that I could reach out to to make sure that I'm writing something that's authentic. Right. So, you know, I want that feeling like, you know, eventually if I write this, I want it in the neighborhood that I grew up in. I want to make sure Highland Park gets a shout out. I want Lincoln Heights to get a shout out. I want El Monte to get a shout out because my family is all there. Like, it's just crazy, you know, the amount, you know, when you're talking to people that they don't really understand that though I'm a minority, I'm an American. Yeah, my family is deep-rooted in here.
Say it one more time for the people in the back.
I'm an American, okay? I may be brown, but I am an American. And what's sad is, you know, my white side, my dad was from Poland. You know, he didn't get to go back to Poland, you're dirty Pole, and he was a refugee too. You know, no one says anything like about that. You know, where my mom gets asked where she's from.
Wow.
And she'll be saying, you know, I'm from L.A. And then they're like, well, where's your mom, her mom from? And like, Oklahoma. Well, where's her mother from? Oklahoma. Yeah. Like, I don't know what more. Like, you know, L.A. has a huge Mexican population.
Yeah.
You know, you have streets that are like Mexico because it was Mexico. Mm-hmm. You know, all these different areas. And it's just like, it's not just as of whenever we became this country that, you know, we just all spoke English. You know, you have the Tonga tribe in L.A. You have all these rich cultures that need a voice, and it should be done. So,
now, you mentioned earlier, like, going on set and, you know, seeing other Latinos and Latinas that are on set, and you kind of, Marcus may know this, but you guys have a nod or a gesture, or say if me and Marcus Sims, we walk into a room and there's, you know, we walk on a set of Game of Thrones and there's 135 white people out there, but Marcus is in the back and I see him, he sees me. We can give each other a nod, like,
right,
I see you, like, to let each other know, like, I see you, you see me, everything's good, we all cool. Or we could be in a club and there's 135 guys that look just like us, but we know that, hey, I got you. If something goes down, we good. So do you guys have like a gesture or kind of, is that the same thing where it's kind of like, all right.
Oh, yeah, you definitely, like, you can tell, like, you'll be like walking in an event and you're like, hey, like, yes, okay. You know, it's a little harder for me because I don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another thing that's big is, you know, though I'm Mexican, people get mad at me because I don't speak Spanish. Or they expect me to, and it's just like, you know, do you remember? It was not cool to be Mexican. You had schools tell, you know, family, don't be speaking that stuff here. Don't, you know, don't be talking to your kids and that, you know. Now they want us to be bilingual, and there's nothing I can do about it. But even then, you're like, it's never enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it could be on, you know, work where someone automatically assumes, you know, we need someone to talk to the gardener to turn off the lawnmower because of his audio. Why are you coming to me? I'm not the only one that can talk to the gardener.
Wow.
So, yeah, it happens. People make assumptions. That's why you should not assume who people are and where they come from.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I just think that we need to, one, just start creating, start pitching those stories, start, you know, supporting brands that support us. You know, you have Tyler Perry, you know, in Atlanta. He's doing huge things for the community, opening up studios. That's what we need to do. Open up those studios, write those stories, hire crews. This is the best way to do so. And, you know, also through schools, the networking, super huge. If I did not have the alumni support that I had, I would not be in this position that I am right now.
That's what I'm talking about. So the now, Marcus, also, because I know you got a billion questions, so you know, there's no right time. You jump right in. It's like double Dutch. Hey. You know, I think he's writing a script in his head right now.
Hey, like, hey, you got to do it.
Right. I mean, it's Huntsville Vice coming. You know? Yeah, it's me and you.
Your lead role is gonna be JQ. Could you see JQ working Vice, busting down doors?
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
9mm drive.
Well, Huntsville Vice is not gonna be a very exciting show. Like, what do we go around busting people for?
Go to Bubba Terrace.
You have a car accident here. I see, like, two cops. Yeah. So I'm like, wow, okay, drive safely. Drive safely.
Yeah. For sure.
But I guess the question I have to throw out there, I'm on a college campus, and I deal with a lot of students in the communications field. And one of the things that I tell them, and I wish I could have done when I was younger.
It's never too late.
Thank you.
Yeah, just so you know, it's never too late.
Thank you. I mean, I'm looking good for 66, I know.
60, get out of here.
But I always tell them to take advantage of internships.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's, you know, nowadays with you can go online and maybe you can find out where you can intern, where you can volunteer, hang out, but take advantage of a lot of these opportunities that are in your city and in your area and in your field. And it may not exactly be what you want. You know, you might be the one sweeping, you know, or to get on set or to get in that area that you want to be in. But what advice would you give to those, let's say some juniors or seniors, you're talking to them right now.
Mm-hmm.
What's a couple pieces of advice you could give them to help enter into the field?
One, make sure you're going to dive in, you dive in. Mm. Yeah, you can't really be half in, half out. It's kind of hard to maintain a normal job as well as trying to, you know, you might have a 3-day gig, but you know, it's a gig and it's connections. Those connections are like life. Honestly, even just writing to your favorite producer, you know, like I know so many people that got jobs just talking, like, you know, and they didn't have experience, you know? Let's see, what else would I do? You know, writing to your favorite companies, just saying, hey, you know, like, you know, there's Evolution for Housewives. They're huge. You know, you have Magical Elves that does, you know, Top Chef, Project Runway, you know, they are a hub. ITV is another one. You know, I'm working with them right now with Carlos, for,
Santana?
No. You know, for Kingdom Reign, you know, it's, they're also connected, and if you are saying, hey, I love what you do, I love what you create, I want to be a part of that, you can get there, you know? I know so many people, they drove to L.A., slept in their car, and now they're, you know, line producers, and trust me, they don't have a problem paying for their houses, so, you know, it's hard, it's very, you know, it's difficult at times, but the reward can be just rewarding.
Mm. And it seems like it's one of those things, T-Mill, where when you mentioned you got to go all in, because a lot of times I talk to interns and I could tell, oh, you don't want to come up and work at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. For example, if there's a shoot on the campus, you know, where we need to cover a football game or a basketball game, or there's a huge event, they need someone to work cameras or carry cables or any type of thing. I got to get up at what time? And then you got some.
Oh, no. You can't even do that. No, you can have call times anytime. Like, I remember I had 4 a.m. call times, and even the a lot of the pages from the NBC program, that's like another good internship you can look into. If they're doing the late night show or the late night show, like, you're going to have great, like, I mean, talking to them about, I'm getting on the subway at this time, and I'm just like, we're going out afterwards. I was like, oh, get it, you know? Have a life too. I mean, it's a little difficult having a life in this industry, but you know, there are some payoffs, which are, you know, but yeah, no, you get your butt there. If your call time's at 5 minutes early, 10 minutes early, show up, because that's the worst thing to do is be late on your call time. You have to be punctual. It's all about that. It's all about your due diligence, making sure you take care of business, being professional. People remember that. I mean, if you're just sitting down there, they're going to be like, why is that PA sitting? Why, you know, why isn't this done? Like, you know, they're watching. They're always watching.
That's what I'm talking about. And it's in the, we're in the day and age where, again, like you said, people can reach out and, you know, write letters or,
emails,
get out emails,
they got those contact
you know, social media, you've got all these different outlets to where, you didn't have social media 10 years ago to find out who was the AP or DP or whatever on these films, but now they have social media to reach out to them directly, or you're watching them or listening to them on a podcast, and they give out the information and you can reach out.
Yeah.
So again, it's definitely able for people to get out. There's no excuse, I don't think, you know, nowadays. Now also,
and also, you guys have it pretty easy here. There's not much of a market for finding PAs or finding, you know, those kinds of jobs out in this area. Like, if you're not in Nashville or Atlanta, trying to get a PA so hard. I worked on Finding Bigfoot. We worked in Tennessee, North Carolina, Mississippi, and we have to hire locals on certain positions. Mm. And it's hard to find. So staffmeup.com, sign up, because trust me, we're looking for PAs or, you know, anything that we can hire as a local.
That's what I'm
saying. If you're willing to make that drive, I mean, that's what I would do for jobs.
And I say that one more time for the people in the back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, staffmeup.com. You sign up for those jobs. You make your profile.
You said sign me up or?
Staff me up. Staff me up. It's okay. Basically a huge hub that we, you know, when I'm, you know, trying to hire someone in another state and I'm not there, mm-hmm. I will say, hey, I need a PA over here. I need a, you know, an audio. And then if they're willing to put you up, I mean, if it's a 6-hour drive, shoot, that's a day's work. I'll go there. You know, you take those jobs because it's harder to find if you're not in one of those major filming cities. Mm. So, like, I would even work with the algorithm because I worked for the company for a day, too, because they needed a PA. So I got, like, all the intel on there how to go. Find those jobs. But what I would do when I was first starting out is I would take all the jobs nobody wanted. Outside of LA, you know, talking to Oxnard, Temecula, I mean, I'd drive maybe two and a half hours for a job, sleep in my car, and then, you know, but again, I made connections from there. I paid my bills.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to do it.
And how many of those opportunities have come at the most inconvenient time?
I mean, it's always inconvenient trying to find work. It's kind of hard. You know, there's sometimes it's just like, oh, I would love a week off, but there's just an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Or I think there's one time I was on a job, and this job, I mean, it paid my bills. I had the opportunity to travel, like to go to Europe. Mm-hmm. But I was offered another job, more of what I want to do with mm-hmm. the title, with the pay, mm-hmm. and I had to step away. And that's really hard. Nobody tells you mm-hmm. to step away. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But making those decisions are very difficult. Like,
but it's okay to...
It's possible, definitely, as long as you communicate. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when I told them, I was like, hey, you know, it's possible, you know, producing job for me, and I was a camera PA, and they're like, leave. Leave now. You know, you're not going to go,
but
you know, there's not much of a climb here. Like, yeah. This is what's going to get you there. Like, mm-hmm. I had that support. Mm-hmm. But again, I did it in a respectful way. I offered a replacement. You know, I did all my due diligence for mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you have to weigh those consequences of taking the job. Is it worth it? Is it going to progress my career? Am I burning a bridge? Yeah. Those are, I think, the most difficult times trying to figure that out.
But again, like you said, as long as you're communicating, as long as you're being upfront, and at least letting them know, hey.
Yeah, you can't be all like, deuces, I'm done. Like, yeah. I quit. I ain't doing this no more. I found a better opportunity. It's never like that,
yeah, yeah.
You know, because I loved working there. I loved the people that I worked with. So mm-hmm. it's kind of hard, but, you know, when they're like, dude, you got to do you. And you're like, okay,
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
You know, and I made that jump, and that jump led to other opportunities.
Absolutely. You know, treating others the way you would want to be treated. Again, it goes back to that. Now, you gave a lot of, again, I hope people are writing notes and taking notes and writing this down, because you've already explained this, but to put it, break it down a little more. What are some of the changes you want to see for women that are aspiring to do what you do, or that are in the industry now, and some of those changes you would like to see?
A lot needs to change. You know, sometimes there's sexism on set. I swear, if I hear one more person tell me, such a small girl carrying such a big tripod, you don't know my life, you don't know how much I can lift, like... it gets under my skin so bad. I'm doing my job,
yeah.
And I'm aware of what I signed up for. If I know that I'm going to be a grip, I know if I'm going to have to do lighting or anything like that, I know I got my work gloves, I got my little holster on the side. Like, I'm prepped. Yeah. I know what I'm doing. I've done this for years.
Mm.
I really don't need to hear that.
Wow.
You know, you don't have to say, like, I just find, like, sometimes people feel like they have to say something just because they see a girl carry 2 C-stands and 2 sandbags at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say anything. I'm just trying to be efficient at my job.
Mm.
So that could definitely change. And also, I think there's a huge, you know, issue with paying.
Mm-hmm.
Equal pay for equal work, you know. There's, you know, incredible producers that sometimes get the short end of the stick because they're not a good old boy, you know, mm-hmm. they don't know them, or she's a woman kind of thing. And you have to look at who's owning the companies, who's deciding all these things. If they're, you know, older and have older views, they tend to do that to, yeah. you know, who's coming up and working. Mm-hmm. So it's really finding those companies that support those things. You have women now opening up their companies and having more of the control, which is great. But it's also acting. Why does a main character male make way more than the female? She does the same work. The movie's great.
Yeah.
But nobody says, you guys deserve to get paid. You know, who cares if someone, oh, Matt Damon, you know, that whole, you know, issue. It's like, yeah, he has a name, but she did equal work. Yeah. You know, it shouldn't be like that. You know, there's a lot of companies where it's like, you find out because things get leaked, you know, because of hackers. You know, yeah. That's how much you're getting paid. Okay. And, you know, it's also very difficult, which they never told me this in school, which I'll let you all know, is you have to negotiate rates. You have to do all this. And it's a little uncomfortable when someone sets a price for you and you're like, how do I argue this without insulting you? Because I feel insulted, you know? Right now, you have the minimum wage going up. You have production assistance rates going up, which is great. They deserve that. But who's really getting the short end of the stick is, like, those in-between jobs. Mm-hmm. Because it's like if you're a coordinator, you're, you know, an AP, even a segment, you know, producer, your rate hasn't changed. Your rate should change. Yeah. You know, like, I shouldn't, you know, $300 more a week is not, you know, I might as well be a PA with less stress, you know, yeah. kind of thing. So, you know, these are all fights we have to make. Mm-hmm. And the higher you climb, that's when you have to get agents. And they have, you know, a lot of executive producers have agents, and they will decide all those things and make the deals, mm-hmm. whether you get residuals or part of a budget. Like, I never do any of that stuff. Nobody talks about that. Mm-hmm. So I wish they would talk about that more in school. Like, how do I actually weave into this industry? Yeah. Who do I talk to do that? And I'm like, you're going as you learn.
Yeah.
The tech is the same thing as well. You can learn something in school, but it's ever, like, just exponentially growing. So you have to remember you're always learning. So that's another thing. Don't be like, hey, this is not what they taught me in school. Like, they told me the lights worked this way, and, you know.
Yeah. So what's your advice to that girl that's, again, you know, fellas, we'll get to them later. That's on a whole other show. But, again, mm-hmm. for the girl that's weaving her way and making her way through the industry, what advice would you give to her without, you know, she doesn't want to step on toes, or she doesn't want to lose her job, or she doesn't want to seem like, you know, like she's out of place? Because she doesn't want to seem like she's, you know, ruffling things up or anything like that. But at the same time, we didn't even get done with my list.
Yeah. There's two more things I need to change is, you know, I find when a woman is doing, you know, taking command of a set, or she's not happy and she says something, oh, she a bitch, you know, like, mm-hmm. oh, she crazy. But if a guy does it, he's just getting it done. Mm-hmm. So I would love it if women, you know, getting their work done, you know, saying what they have to do, wasn't, you know, considered being bitchy. Mm-hmm. That was another thing. Like, you know, you think I want to yell at you? No, I don't want to yell at you. Like, do your job right. And, you know, it's just, you know, clearly they're doing it for a reason. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean she's crazy or, you know, whatever, you know, someone's trying to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just do it. You know, if you want to get in there, get in there. Mm-hmm. You know, we need more women in tech. You know, if you do grip, if you do camera, you know, I've heard guys say, you know, I don't think she can be shouldered up that long. You know, shouldering up is having a 30 to 35 pound camera on there. And it's tough. Like, mm-hmm. it's tough for the men. But I've heard that with very successful cam ops that are females. Wow. You know? But don't get me wrong, there's a lot of supporters. We have a lot of great males that are progressive, and they're like, yes, when they're happy to see that. But there are the, you know, small few that ruin that experience. So that definitely needs to change. And then also, I'm not going to lie, the Me Too movement, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
Thing. But, you know, on a show, mm-hmm. I got, you know, a Me Too movement mm-hmm. kind of thing where I got trumped in a way. Mm. Someone was talking about me, mic'd up. And what's the hardest thing was I was just a production assistant at the time, mm-hmm. so I didn't even know where to go with that. Because then he had said something and told one PA, who then told all the PAs. Mm. And then because there are mics and IFBs, you know, the audio guys heard, maybe the producers heard, and you're just always in your mind, I don't want to be thought of because of what someone said.
Right, right, right.
You know, it's degrading mm-hmm. because I'm just doing my job. I can't help that we're in the desert and I'm wearing a tank top.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does not mean I was inviting anything or anything like that. Mm,
right.
So, You know, I waited for that person a real long time. I wasn't mic'd up.
Yeah.
And I just told them, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm somebody's daughter.
Yeah.
You have daughters. And you would you want that to happen? And he was like, oh, we're gonna be so mean. And I was just like, it has nothing to do with meanness. I'm working. Yeah. I'm literally at my job. I never asked for this. Yeah. You know, my boyfriend didn't appreciate it. My mother didn't appreciate it. Yeah. Like, you have to think that is somebody's, you know, child.
Yeah.
You know, who's growing up and is working. You know, if you wouldn't want that done to someone you love, why do it?
Exactly.
So, yeah, that happens. But there's mm-hmm. so many girls. And then you also don't want to report it because it's like, then you're that girl. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to flip it or call a lawyer because you can get blackballed. Right. You know, there's always like a give or take. Like, do I do it? Do I not? You know.
Yeah.
So I took care of it my way, and I got more satisfaction out of that confronting mm-hmm. and saying,
"Yeah,
what you did was wrong. I know you did it,
mm-hmm.
and you need to knock it off."
True. You go, so. And I think at the end of the day, like you said, as long as I don't think anyone should hold anything versus what they want to say or
yeah.
how they feel. Now the way they go about it, I think is, again, if you do that at least, then that'll
like,
help
I'm not looking for a paycheck. You know what I mean? I love what I do. Yeah. I love creating. I love my work. But I'm not going to deal with being disrespected at work.
Right.
But yeah. it was not a reflection of the company. It was a reflection of one individual.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I do a lawsuit? To me, that made no sense. So to me, it's just like, if I'm going to have my opportunity, I'm going to have my opportunity to say something. And, you know, luckily there was, you know, fantastic people on that crew that had heard about it. And they're like, hey, you don't have to work that department. You don't have to deal with them. You don't have to leave the show if you don't want to. I had options.
Yeah.
So I think it's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But we just have a small-minded people that yeah. are, you know, saying things.
It could
things.
Be a lot better.
Yeah, it could be a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, just know that people are people. Like, you know, I'm not saying, hey, nice ass, you know, when a guy walks right. by, like, let me see that tool, you know, tooled out, you know, kind of thing. I don't do that, you know.
Right.
It's just not necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Now, the so far on the different sets that you worked on, the different projects that you worked on, and there may be a whole lot or there may be a few, but if you could think of one of your favorite moments where you're like, that was just unreal and just blast.
I have a bunch.
Unforgettable.
I mean, I will have to always go back to working with Cam Newton on a Nickelodeon show.
Mm.
That was always my favorite show because we worked with kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know Cam is you know, in football and he's
yeah.
got his thing going, but he really did care and, you know, hope to provide, you know, an amazing opportunity for them. So mm-hmm. part of my job was to help coordinate with my supervising producer
mm-hmm.
to make those shoots happen. And we're talking, you know, we had like athletes come in, we had, you know, actresses come in, everybody, big name, huge people to help these kids. You wanted to be a gymnast, you wanted to be a designer, you know, you had all of this. And we would bring these people and they would actually improve their skills in an episode.
Mm,
you know,
wow.
maybe it was a 2-3 day shoot,
yeah.
but because you had someone guide you that was like up here, those kids made a significant jump.
Mm, wow.
So the episode that sticks out the most is we had a little boy and he wanted to be a designer. And he knew who he was by, like, 3. He could recognize French photography. Like, he knew Paris.
Sheesh.
Like, I was like, okay, child. Like,
man.
You know, good for you. I wish I knew who I was back then.
Man.
And we set up a shoot, and we had Tim Gunn come in, which he said if Tim Gunn was going to be there, he's going to cry. He was, like, trying not to cry. And he was just like, oh, my God, Tim Gunn's there. We had Bob Mackie there. And they designed a dress together.
Wow.
Like, he saw
this kid.
He like draped it with him, like super talented. And Bob Mackie was giving him, you know, I would try this, I would do this. And we sent it out with the seamstress to actually sew it. So the next day he saw his dress on a woman. Like,
wow.
And that, I mean, him seeing that brought him to tears. And he even told the woman, he's like, you look so beautiful. Like, he's just like, I can't believe it. Like, my creation came to life. Icing on the cake, Tom Ford submitted a video.
Mm.
Telling him, you know, all these things. I don't know how we did it, but we had that many people do this for this child. And you didn't see this on camera, but the dad was so happy, supported his son in everything he wanted. Like, there was tears. And that moment, I was like, I love what I do. I helped like create something that that child will always remember. And, you know, it could have pushed them in any direction. But I had lots of kids, you know, that I took care of. I think I had 16 of different segments that I did. And each kid was so happy. So that one was definitely an amazing moment that, you know, always sticks out.
Wow.
So that I'm definitely proud of that job.
Follow your dreams. You guys, if you have any questions, if you want to know anything, make sure you drop your questions in the comment section. Where can they follow you? Do you have any social media that...
Oh, yeah. I do have social media. It's funny. I have a Facebook. Yes, I have Facebook. You can find me at Diva Josette Naparella. I'm the only one. Trust me, that name is not common. I'm more on the gram, so Diva Naps. I have a Twitter, maybe two followers. Don't follow me there, but Diva Naparella, you can find me there.
We'll get eight, so everybody in the room will follow. So now you got eight.
Yay. But yeah, honestly, that's another thing coming up in this industry is now producers have to have a ridiculously like a following too. It's not just the celebs now. It's just like they have curated, you know, or what is it? They have photo shoots and all this. I'm like, I can't afford a photographer at the moment. And then you need outfits. You gotta have more bang for your buck. I'm just here to create. I don't want to be on camera. Like. And it's funny, if you see cameramen's Instagrams, it's all photography, all different images, never them. So it's kind of funny that each, you know, department now, you got to beef up your Instagram now. So
it is.
That's another thing.
That's another job, you guys, you know, making sure that you guys can be in these positions to do this. And also, I would be remiss. I know we're running out of time, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask some of the spots to pull up in California, you know, where you're from. In LA and all that, just some of your favorite spots.
There are so many, but let's see. I love going to Olvera Street. That is like home. That is Mexico. Best taquitos you will ever have in your life are Celinda Lindos, $3.50 for two, and they just pour the sauce right on them. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what else you need to go check
out. I've had
out.
Taquitos. What is Celitos? What is that?
Celinda Lindo is the name of the spot. It's this little shack. They've been there for like almost 70 years, or 80 years, just making taquitos there. And they're the best. There'll be a line down the block. You know, if you ever want to see like something iconic that's been in every movie pretty much is the train station. Every subway scene and romantic BS thing you see. We're in New York. No, you're not. You're in L.A. Yeah, Union Station. Most movies definitely film there a lot. You know, you can also check out the lots. Like, I worked at Paramount. You know, you can do tours. Those are great. It's a little weird when people take photos of you while you're working. I'm like, buddy. I'm not famous. Like, I know it's a ride. Like,
you're doing it. You're definitely doing it.
And I'm trying to think of other spots. Man, there's you go to the neighborhoods, each neighborhood's different. You know, going to like Inglewood, you know, Crenshaw, like that's huge. Like, that is a huge part of the community is there. You have like Little Tokyo, like, you know, you go there for some shabu shabu, it's bomb. Like, you have to go. Like, the food is amazing. I'm telling you. Like,
that's what I'm talking about.
You hit me up when you're there. I'll tell you all my favorite, like, restaurants and spots to go to. Like, that's what I love about L.A. It's just, like, a little hub of everything. So it's a little difficult filming outside of L.A. You know, when you're trying to, like, I need a city that looks like this or this kind of block or this look or even a prop house. And I'm like... You know, it's like, I can't find nothing.
Excellent. Marcus, anything else before we get out of here?
We covered so much. I mean, I've learned so much. I think that's one of the cool things about doing this podcast and this show is you learn so much. And I'm like, I'm writing down the website where I can email, where I can like possibly, you know,
get an
acting gig or something. You know, I'm leaving you behind. I'm leaving this whole show behind. I'm leaving everyone behind. I'm going to Hollywood. I might, you know, team me. I might go to that other side of the valley where they make those movies.
You know that?
I hate to crush your dreams, but production value has dropped for that. So it's all over. It don't even matter. Like, you just need a home camera, and that's all mine. Like, yeah, the budgets for those have dropped. If you want to pay, get half the rate. Then maybe you go there. Like, times is tough.
I was talking about making cartoons. I wasn't talking about
those. Cartoons, all
right. Yeah, but
definitely. Now, once again, what was that website for those out there? Because For my interns, for my students, for those who were Calhoun students, Alabama A&M, UAH, Oakwood students, please say that website once again.
It's called staffmeup.com. Staffmeup.com. And that way, it's by city. So a lot of productions, because what's really, I guess, kind of crappy is you have New York, you have Miami, you have Atlanta, you have L.A. Those are the main hubs, and you can't set up production companies everywhere. So really, to make it or even, you know, be flown out, you know, if you're that good and you can live anywhere, then they'll fly you. That's great, but you know, it gets to the point where there's certain jobs that they won't fly out, so they'll do it. You know, Alabama jobs. There are, you know, I mean, there's not many, but there's some. There's, you know, definitely listed. I mean, I know we needed a PA, but you know, we found, you know, a local, which is great.
Absolutely.
So that job is great in that sense. And, you know, Atlanta's not that far of a drive. So I highly suggest if, you know, it gets to the point where you're like, hey, buddy, like, go into some gas, let's go drive, you know, do what you got to do. Just don't ever let anyone tell you you can't do it. Because, you know, I had that in my own family. You know, I'm a mixed race child. The, you know, brown side wasn't that great for the white side. And not even for my dad's side. It's just like this other woman who's like married into the Mexican side. And I overheard her basically tell my mother when I think I was 8 years old, maybe 8 or 10, that I needed to just learn and get used to what I would have in life. Like I shouldn't want more or expect more from life, you know, because of my situation. You know, I'm the first child in my whole family to get accepted to university, attend and graduate in 4 years. You know, I'm, you know, one of the first to get a job, you know, that's not a stay-at-home wife. You know, I'm not popping out babies. And there are some that, yes, they're, you know, they've, you know, gotten their jobs and, you know, done something, but it took a long time for that to happen. You know, they took that, you know, later in life where I, you know, got to go. You know, my grandma didn't even finish high school. She didn't finish middle school, I don't think. You know,
and they just want that to keep. Like, come on, man. Don't be that one in your family. There's one of y'all watching right now that's that one.
Always that
one. Y'all that one. Don't be that one.
You know why? Because, you know, the brown drug addicts were worse than, you know, the white drug addicts. Because, you know, she could love her cousin or nephew that, you know, that was like, he smoked weed. He did all this other stuff, too. Like, but he's okay. But we're the criminals kind of thing. So, you know, you have those kind of things. Oh. And, you know, I took that more as a fuel to my fire. Because I was like, I'm not going to let this little lady say this about me. You know? And I, you know, having a huge support from your family is huge. Absolutely. You know, I think older generations need to allow their kids to try something different. You know, like, my mom was like, hey, you're going to college, you're going to do something. So she gave me that support where, you know, other, you know, parents, I mean, granted, she didn't pay a dime at that college. I'm paying still for it. But where there's a will, there's a way. Right. You don't have to depend on your parents for college. I, you know, got grants. I got student loans. I'm paying a Toyota for my degree. That's not bad. To me, that's an investment, you know, instead of, you know, spending your money elsewhere. Think about if I'm only paying what I would for a Toyota. And now I have this job, and I get to do all these different things. I go to red carpet events. I do all these things. It seems like a great investment. You know, don't be afraid to look into, you know, FAFSA, into getting those student loans, or kind of, I know it's a little crazy, but be smart with your money. You know, don't spend. You know, I know you get your financial aid checks, and you're all buying TVs. Don't buy the TV. Like, it's not necessary. Put that towards your dream.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's always an investment. So
Marcus Sims, you got to tell, you know, some of them students driving Maybachs, you know, on the campus. They got to go back and get some of that, take that money back and go put it into the education. You know what I mean?
I mean, I remember I got my check. I made sure my rent was paid that whole semester because I was not going to be like, oh, my God, I can't pay my rent. Like, that was the one thing. I made sure I got that check, paid those bills ahead, and I did it every step of the way because I was just like, I'm going to do it because the worst thing is going into school, you acquire this debt, and you don't finish.
Right.
Finish your degrees. That's all I could say. You know, I hear people say you don't need a degree. You don't technically need a degree to be in this industry, but I've never heard anybody that has been educated or who has a degree saying, I regret going to school. They may not have liked the school they went to, but you don't regret the knowledge you've got. Mm-hmm. You know,
and the relationships you might have made. Or
exactly.
People that you meet,
I mean, you have so much, just the learning process, just talking, mm-hmm. just, you know, thinking a different way, you know, you realize you don't know shit if you go to college, you know, like really there's so much more to learn.
Yeah.
You don't, you know.
That should be the first class any semester. Everywhere, every institution, university you go to, first class should be you don't know shit.
You don't.
One-on-one.
You really don't. And then you find these things out and you're like, oh, I didn't know this, you know. I didn't know that this was, you know, here. You find out so much about just everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't let anyone stand in your way. You know, there, even if you can't do it a specific way, there is another way. Mm-hmm. You just have to have that drive.
Sure.
You know, everything you do, you get out of it what you put into it. So if you hated, you know, college, well, you probably didn't go to class, did you? Did you, you know, go out and socialize? Did you do those things? If you didn't, then you really didn't get that experience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's even like buying equipment. You know, if you're going to be a startup and you're going to be filming things on your own, well, if you, you know, don't put that much into the prep or into the equipment, you're not going to have a great product. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another thing, is just knowing about all those, you know, things.
I got a friend of mine, which I always think of this when people tell that type of story, that he has a studio here in town and he's doing photography as well. And he's had this joke since high school. And whenever I talk to him about what he's doing, or there's a new piece of equipment that he sees, or a new camera or whatever, we'll be talking about something and just in conversation, and he goes, yeah, man, I'm on a beans and rice, baby. I got to get this new, you know, camera or whatever. And what he's saying is he's literally, like, if you go in his kitchen, he's buying beans and rice and noodles and that money for his grocery budget. And he puts that money toward whatever it is that he's going to be buying the new
equipment. I mean, and you'd be surprised. You can make money off your equipment. That's what a lot of people don't talk about. Because when I go on set, I talk to everybody. You're talking camera, audio, you name it. I want to know where they came from, how they got here. Just, you know, because I'm curious.
Yeah.
And I knew an audio soup, and they make good money. So if you're in audio, definitely be a soup.
Oh, yeah.
and, you know, what he did is he took a loan out, bought the huge mixers, and he would take that with him on big shows, and they pay for it. And the amount of money they pay for the rental, he paid that thing off. And now he makes money over that. And I don't even want to say the amount he makes on a season of a show, because it's ridiculous. You know, you can buy, let's just say you can buy a house in Huntsville off of a season. That's 3 months of work, you know, that he got overall. You know, it's, you know, if you're an audio guy, you have your mixer, you have, you know, your kit, you know, they rent that. That's more money in your pocket. You know, it's the same with cam ops. You know, if you have different things, you have a GoPro, you have all these things, you can offer those packages, makes more money, you Jimmy. Know. Come on, guys. Like, you know, GoPros, you can get them at Target. Like, you there's always so much you can do. And also, like, talking about shows, you know, if we write our stories, now they don't do paper scripts. You know, you can't just write an idea and pitch it. You have to do a kind of a sizzle. You have to make some kind of an example so someone can see your vision. So it might be, you have 4K capacity on your phones. Just switch over the settings. You buy those little accessories. You do your interviews. I mean, I know iMovie's a joke in the editing world, but it could lead to something more.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're getting it out there, you're pitching those ideas.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, you guys, this Diva, thank you so much for joining us and
being here.
To not only share your experiences, to give encouragement, but again, I'm hoping that I know that there's going to be a young girl, a woman, somebody that sees themselves in you and say, okay, now I can do it, you know, or that's what I want to do, or okay, it's cool, I'm not crazy that I want to do all this.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And to be able to do that. And again, especially speaking to the students, with Marcus Sims and you guys talking about interns, and hopefully those interns taking those opportunities to go to the website, you know, staffmeup.com, and check it out. Every time you said that, I started thinking about that song that "Staff Me Up."
Yeah, start making songs. You know, but even then, like, if you're in school, you can still get an internship and, you know, get college credit. That's what I did, you know, to say, you know, more bang for your buck. I think, what's his name? Daniel Baldwin was trying to open a studio.
Wow.
In Portland. It didn't work out. But at the time, I got credit. So I didn't have to pay for a class, you know, so... And I got to know and talk to directors. And, I mean, we never filmed anything. But
yeah,
I did. I got the experience of how you set up a production office. And, you know, no one tells you the small things.
Yeah.
Luckily, at, you know, Washington State, like, there was, like, a PA boot camp. Like, this is how you stock a fridge. Labels out. Sheesh. You know, like, it's down to the point. Like, if you're a good PA, you have two call sheets on you, two walkie batteries. You have a knife. You have your, you know, thing. I had a kit. Like, I could give you a whole list of what I would have in my little pouch. You know, I bought a, you know, motorcycle thigh pack because I could run with a walkie, which came in handy because I worked at Comic-Con and there was the last kid. We just saw the kid while we were filming. Mm. So I booked it and called the cops. Like, you know, I was like running after them. Like, hey, you found that kid. It's over there. Like, you know, we helped, you know, that, you know, yeah. You have to think of accessibility and always being there, being responsive. That's another thing. I know it sucks being a PA, but when they're calling for a PA, you run to that opportunity because it could be your next job.
There you go. That's going to be our Vice episode, too. It's going to be Lost Kids or something like that. I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, again, this has been another episode of In Tune with T-Mill. And again, I want you guys to write down your questions, leave them in the comment section. We will make sure that Diva gets them, that she sees them. For your email, is there an email that they can contact you at? Or?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, DivaNapJoe at Gmail, which is DivaNapJo.
DivaNapJoe.
You know what's really
embarrassing? You got an EP coming out?
You want to know something embarrassing? Back in, sixth, seventh grade when 50 Cent came out,
yeah.
I was D-Unit.
D-Unit?
Yep, that's right.
So you can still achieve D-Unit music.
You know, I don't know. There could be copyright on that. You know, no units allowed. No other units.
Well, you guys, make sure that you comment, subscribe, like this episode, and share it with someone you know needs this information and would appreciate it. And we'll see you guys on whatever you're working on, whatever your creation is. Thank you, Mario Maitland. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Sunshine Enterprises. And everyone for tuning in. And make sure you guys subscribe to the music, the message, the mixtape on WJAB.org. Mr. Marcus Sims. And tune in on Saturday mornings, you know, for the Roots Box and Afternoon Expressions on 90.9 FM WJAB. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. We out.